Here again, the word of the Lord. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's start here. But he was defeated. That's where any teaching on spiritual warfare, on Satan, and on the demons must start. The truth that Satan was defeated by Christ through his incarnation, his nativity, his life, his suffering, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. Satan was defeated. And yet, as St. Peter says in 1 Peter 5, he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. How are these two texts reconciled? How is Satan defeated and yet he's still prowling around? Well, we need to read a little bit further in Revelation 12, where the voice from heaven says that, says this, "But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short." We read there about the woe, and this isn't W-O-A-H, woe. This is W-O-E, alas. It's calling us to repentance, calling us to be wary of what has taken place. Satan is prowling like a lion seeking someone to devour here, for he has been cast out of heaven. Now this is part of the now and not yet. That's a tension that we live in as Christians. There's some things that have taken place and yet we haven't fully seen them realized. The crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension of Christ have bound Satan. They have cast him out of heaven. And that's a huge blessing for us. Because now that Satan is outside, has been cast out of heaven, he can't go before God and seek an audience with him like he did in Job chapters 1 and 2. He can't try to incite God against us by throwing the law at us. No. Now that Christ's blood has been shed here on earth, and now that Christ has ascended to the right hand of the Father and daily brings his blood before God in the heavenly throne room, in the divine holy of holies, now Satan cannot accuse us before God, as he did in the time of Job. The only power that Satan possesses is here upon the earth. And even that is only that which God grants him. Who permits Satan to remain, to have some level of power in this season between Christ's ascension and Christ's return. Now we might ask the question, why does God still allow Satan to prowl around like a roaring lion? Well, it's the same reason why God allows disasters and illness. It is to accomplish his purposes, which, while they are unknown to us on the small scale, and we should be careful about discerning the will of God apart from Scripture, it is plain to see that from Scripture, we read that that God desires all to be saved and come to a knowledge of salvation. We heard that last week in the sermon, and I'm bringing it again this week. We should not seek to discern the hidden will of God in what's going on in our day-to-day lives. Instead, we should turn to Scripture, where we see that God desires all men to be saved. And thus, you know that when Satan sifts you like wheat, like he did Peter, that this has been permitted by God for your benefit. God is not against you, and God is praying, Jesus is praying for you, just like he prayed for Peter. You see, God permits Satan's prowling around to drive us Christians to our knees in prayer, and to continually seek God's aid, his protection, and especially the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. St. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 12. Paul talks about how he has had this marvelous vision of the heavens. But God sent him a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to keep him humble, to continually drive him to prayer, and to finally see that his weakness is God's strength, and that God's strength is shown in our weakness. See, God uses Satan. He uses the trials and the temptations to refine and strengthen our faith, our love, and our hope. God permits these things so that our faith would be strengthened, that we would learn to be dependent upon God and not on ourselves. He permits these things so that our love would grow through the knowledge of our own weakness, and therefore empathy for the weaknesses of our brothers. It drives us to hope when he delivers us from trials and temptations through his mighty word. See, the devil is not an equal power with God. That's a false religion. That's called dualism. That's an idea we got from Eastern mysticism, and it's been taught to us through things like Star Wars, but it's not true. There are not two equal and opposite powers working against each other. There is God, who is almighty, and there is Satan, who is a created angel that chose to rebel against him. They are not equal powers. Satan will finally, on the last day, be thrown into the lake of fire, where he will be burning in hell forever. Neither is the devil the brother of Jesus, as some believe and teach. Again, the devil is a created being. He is a fallen angel. That is to say, he's a creature. He's not a god. And it's time for your annual reminder on St. Michael's Day that pop culture gets most of the things wrong about Satan. And one of the most important things pop culture gets wrong about Satan is that hell is where Satan reigns. But you know better. That's not where Satan reigns. That's where Satan and his angels are being punished. It's not where he reigns. The only one reigning in hell is Jesus Christ, who, as 1 Peter 3 teaches us, made a victory lap in hell to vindicate the saints and to mock the fallen angels on Holy Saturday. But here's the thing. Satan hasn't been cast into the lake of fire just yet. For now, he and his angels, they prowl around down here. And here on earth, he's going to use all of his tricks that he can to lead us to despair, to anger and hatred, and ultimately to abandon the faith. And he chiefly does this through twisting God's word. The devil can use flat-out lies and fabrications if he so chooses. But it's so much better if he can get us on a little deviation from the truth. Consider if you were taking a flight from PDX all the way to maybe Japan or something, across the Atlantic Ocean. It's a straight shot, right? But imagine, as the pilot reaches altitude, he tilts the wheel just a little bit, maybe 5 degrees, maybe 10. But you'd end up in a completely different place by the time that flight was over, right? Even though for the first couple minutes, it wouldn't seem like the course was all that different. But over time, those little differences add up. Satan would much rather get us off course through half-truths and falsities than entirely making up false religions. But what does God do when Satan tries to twist his word? When Satan casts lies and dispersions upon us? Well, God uses Satan's lies against him. For these lies, these half-truths, when they build up over time, they create controversies, and those controversies lead Christians back into the Holy Scriptures. And by prayer and meditation upon God's word, the church returns back to the truth. And often, when this happens, the church writes creeds, confessions, catechisms. We recited the Nicene Creed today. That creed came out of a controversy about whether Jesus was true God or whether he was just a created being, just another angel. There was a controversy. Satan had introduced that false teaching. And over time, it built up until finally the church went to the scriptures, asked the questions, and found the truth. This is how God responds to Satan's lies. He gives us his pure word. And he drives us, again, to prayer and to trust in that same word through the trials and temptations and even false doctrines. God also uses Satan's murderous hatred for his purposes. For Satan saw an opportunity when the Son of God took on human flesh. Jesus entered into this world to be the sacrifice for our sins, to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the whole world. And Satan attacked him early on. He used Herod to slaughter the children of Bethlehem. He came against him at the first year of his ministry after his baptism. He tempted him for 40 days in the wilderness while he was fasting. And finally, in Holy Week, Satan entered into Judas and betrayed Jesus into the hands of the Jews and the Romans. Satan couldn't resist it. He knew the scriptures. He's been around for the entire time that they've been written, after all. But his pride led him to think that maybe this time I'll do it. And a serpent struck. And the first gospel spoken was fulfilled. For Genesis 3:15 told us the whole truth of the gospel. That the seed of the woman, whom we know is Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary, he would come and he would strike the serpent's head. And the serpent would strike his heel. And there upon the cross, we see the serpent striking the heel of Christ. The Son of God dies on the cross. But in that moment, the serpent's head was crushed. For the Son's death was not just, it wasn't the martyrdom of one of the gods or something we might read in Greek mythology. It was a death in our place. See, Jesus wasn't just dying as a man or as a God. He was dying as our head, as the new Adam. The Son died as the new Adam who didn't give in to the serpent's temptations, who didn't fall into sin and unbelief, who perfectly kept God's law and fulfilled his will. And that Good Friday, an innocent and righteous man hung dead upon the holy cross. The serpent thought it was his victory, but it was the victim who won the day. For by the shedding of his blood upon the cross, the ancient dragon was cast down. And Christ put Satan to shame. The accuser of mankind was silenced. The prosecuting attorney was thrown out of the divine courtroom. For his blood has been shed, and the requirement of the punishment for sin has been met. Thus, God proves to be just, and Satan is silenced. But God is not only just, he is the justifier. And that blood that was shed on Good Friday was shed for you. God is the one who has declared you righteous, not on your account, but on account of what Christ did. His righteousness is now given to you. God now sees Christ's active obedience. What Christ has done, all of the righteous things he did, are yours now. And by his blood we are ransomed for all eternity. And in addition to the forgiveness of sins, we are no longer under Satan's dominion. He certainly still attacks and tempts us, but the accusation cannot stand. The atonement has been made. God is at peace with you. And Satan is cast down, and he is bound by the blood of Christ. This is our comfort, dear Christians, in all the trials and temptations we face. Continue in the faith, firm against Satan's attacks. For you know through God's word, he cannot destroy Satan cannot destroy what Christ has redeemed. The scriptures teach us that we should resist him, and he will flee from us. We should commend ourselves into Christ's protection and mercy, for he is mighty to save. Evening and morning we should pray and commend ourselves into God's merciful care. Dear Christian, you are paid for. Satan is cast down. Christ reigns. You cannot die now. Satan can kill the body, But Christ will raise it. Christ won't be long now. Satan's time is short, for he is defeated. And you are redeemed. In the name of Jesus. Amen.